Is that enough, Alan? Oh, you asshole. Fuck you, I'm going home.
Every time. Every time.
One of these times, it's going to be like an hour and a half
in. It's going to be that show. Who was it that did the recording that was like the sound of silence? It was like an hour of just nothing.
It was Simon and Garfunkel.
No, that was a song.
No, that was an actual album.
No, somebody actually did it. Somebody actually released a.
Is it going to become like a pissing contest now? Like who can go the longest?
Nah, I'm bored with it now.
It's the cinnamon challenge.
Oh God.
I may just do it randomly from now on. Well,
it is so warm here. What happened?
It is super warm.
Like last week we were wondering, oh God, is it going to snow again? And this week it's summer.
Apparently it's snowing in Colorado though.
It's always snowing in Colorado. Like
five inches of snow.
They're welcome to it.
Because of global warming, of course.
No, it's because it's Colorado.
It's always because of global warming.
Yes. It's because of Al Gore. If only he hadn't taken the initiative in creating global warming, this never would have happened.
It is true. Fuck that guy. Because of that son of a bitch, my daughter is not going to have a promising future. Oh. And Alan will probably never be a grandfather because I mean your daughter is considerably older than mine, but she ain't gonna live that long. And you know when the sidewalks are melting, and Houston's under 15 feet of water. Because remember,
that actually happens.
The sea level has risen 6 millimeters since the mid-90s. Oh, God.
See, oh, I know. So, okay. You know, I've seen the ocean. six millimeters is well within the margin of error on any sort of sea level measurement.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's one of those, like, you've got anywhere between, I mean, do you know what the tides are down in, like, in Galveston?
There may be a couple of feet at the worst. There, Galveston doesn't have bad tides at all. But, that's why it was a port.
Yeah, but you've got, like, places like Portland, where I grew up, it was, like, 9.5 feet.
Yeah.
Is a tide.
Yeah, you get better tides up further north.
Like when I was loading a boat and I'd go out on the dock and I'd be like, oh fuck, it's low tide. Shit.
Weird. I that went into my head as waves. And I was like, I lived in New England for most of my life and I never saw 9-foot waves. And then I realized you're talking about the tide and how much the water drops. Yeah. Oh yeah. Go to Salisbury. Oh,
I haven't even gotten to talking about waves. Yes. I've seen 9-foot waves inshore.
Yeah,
during storms.
Yeah, during storms, you haven't seen 9-foot waves. And then once I don't
go to the beach during thunderstorms.
It's awesome. Things. Seriously, you don't?
No.
Like we would literally go to the beach because it was shitty out.
I would stay in the house when it was shitty out.
Like I remember being a kid parked at Portland Headlight. Like in the middle of like some nasty, like summer storm, some tropical depression that was breaking up on the main coast. And we'd be parked at the parking lot right beside Portland Headlight, AKA that lighthouse in all the calendars. And we'd be laughing as the waves would be crashing on the roof of the car. And the waves itself, but they would crash on the cliffs that we were parked right at the foot of, and we'd get spray up on the roof of the car. In my mom's, what was it, like a 1982 AMC Concorde.
Did you take it to the car wash when you were done?
My mom, I don't know. My mom would take that to the car wash because I remember it had the big green felt things. We're all covered in soap. And I would sit in her lap and scream in terror because it was like Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah. It's a machine eating you.
Yeah. No, those things were terrifying.
That explains a lot, Weird.
I did not know what a car wash was until I was well into my adult years.
What?
Parents never, ever, ever brought their car to a car wash.
And you didn't like see one on TV or anything?
Well, I saw 70s movies. I mean.
Well, all right. So you knew what one was.
Yeah, so a parking lot you drive into and girls in booty shorts get their tops pulled off.
Yeah.
You thought the car wash scene in a 70s movie is always an excuse for gratuitous titties. We dropped the F-bomb, so we're automatically a hard R because it's the 1970s. So therefore, we might as well show some boobs and bush, too. That's always a hilarious stuff from like the what year was the PG-13 introduced?
Sometime
in like the early 80s.
The early 80s, and I remember Red Dawn.
Oh, I love that movie.
Red Dawn was the reason for PG-13.
Was it?
Wow.
I'm checking my...
Why? Because I don't remember Red Dawn being all that gratuitous for anything.
Well...
God damn it, I was right!
It didn't even really show blood spatter.
But, Red I mean, you Dawn? Had that weird thing on the, like, Star Wars.
August 10th, 1984. 3 months after parents were outraged over the release of PG-rated Temple of Doom, Red Dawn became the first film to be released with a PG-13 rating.
What was wrong with Temple of Doom? That wasn't... There was nothing in that.
Dude, Monkey dude brains? Got his heart pulled out.
Yeah.
Monkey brains.
Oh, please.
Monkey brains.
A lot of impaled corpses.
No, there weren't any boobs.
No
boobs.
No. But that's what I was about to say is like when you watch movies from like the late 70s, early 80s, you'll see like Rain Man. There are boobs in Rain Man.
Are there?
Yeah. And there is absolutely no fucking need for it. But it's one of those there, you know, there's foul language, which is absolutely appropriate, you know, for it and adult themes. So Rain Man was an R rated movie. And so therefore.
Throw boobs in.
Yeah. In for a penny, in for a pound.
Yeah. Might as well have boobs.
I mean, that's exactly it. That's kind of like, you know, the whole like Deadpool thing as
well.
Well,
if we're going to have an R rating, we might as well have an R rating.
Yeah. But meanwhile, you had movies that were right on the bubble, like Temple of Doom and Star Wars. Star Wars, there was discussion on was either going to be PG or R, and they couldn't decide which.
Oh, my God.
Because it's a fairly tame movie, but it is, you know, violent space war.
Oh, my God.
What?
I mean,
I thought Star Wars was
Alan, we're not getting into debate on whether the movie rating system is complete bullshit or not.
Oh, I know. I can't believe anybody thought Star Wars ever deserved an R rating. That seems ridiculous.
Oh, I mean, yeah, fuck it. I mean, I can't remember what, like, I mean, I was watching R rated movies like in early elementary school
with your parents. Wow.
With my parents, yeah.
Oh, really?
That explains a lot.
Yeah, with full permission, and it was just one of those things of the, it's,
you know, film, it's movies. My daughter's 16. I still will not watch an R movie with her. She can watch them on HBO or whatever on her own, but I'm just not going to do it.
It's probably because, Alan, you blush at everything. You blush at everything, and it would make her feel uncomfortable because you're sitting there blushing your head off. And
I'm not blushing.
She'd have to explain too much to you.
That may be it.
You're probably blushing right now.
Nah.
I mean, but there's
calling you out on your blushing.
Now that's obviously because your daughter's more into the R-rated movies that would have sex and nudity in them rather than the R-rated movie that would have horrible violence.
Actually, no. She likes.
So wait, you wouldn't
violence.
Watch John Wick with your daughter? What are you laughing at, Brita?
Like, I'm picturing Alan's face right now.
Okay, I am too.
I made the mistake of looking out the curtains, And there was like an unearthly light outside my house. It's kind of freaky.
It's aliens.
Apparently the storm.
Oh, are you having a storm?
Yeah, and like,
is it green?
It's no, it's like pure white. I think I died in the rapture.
You might have.
Oh God, I hope so. Oh, the rapture's like the best part of the Bible.
Yeah, if Jay has gone to the rapture and we're talking to Jay, then we're in the rapture too.
That's not gonna happen.
I don't want the rapture.
Brita, what? Jay and you are both Catholic.
True.
You guys both go to hell when you die. Read your Bible.
No. I intend to repent on my deathbed.
What?
I'm going to repent on my deathbed.
It doesn't work that way.
That's, you can be the biggest piece of shit in the world. As you're dying, you're like, I'm sorry for everything. Poof, heaven.
Yep. And it does. If you make a full confession on your deathbed and you're completely penitent and you're completely like sorry. Yeah,
but Jay, your full confession would take like years. There's no possible way you could achieve a full Catholic confession on your deathbed. It's not possible.
That's why I'm sorry for everything.
Don't you have to like name things specifically?
I just published the Cliff Notes. I'll name the commandments I haven't broken.
All right, let's go down them here. Let's see. Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. That's one of the Catholic big ones, is the praying to Saint Peter and praying to Saint Christopher and praying to the Virgin Mary and all.
No,
all,
you're
all.
Supposed to pray to those people.
What? No. Nope.
Yes. Oh, that's
where does it say that?
The Pope says it.
You pray to the saints.
Yes.
They talk to Jesus for you. Jesus is a busy guy.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me, including you don't pray to Jesus.
Jesus is God.
Thou shalt not make unto any
greater images. Yeah, but wait. Weird. That's Old Testament. That's superseded by new law.
They've made amendments.
Yeah,
I want a new Testament.
New Testament?
That's right.
It's called the Book of Mormon, Jay. And I've got to say, for all you LDS members, I love you guys to death, but your Bible is a real dry read, I must say. I cannot
magic get... underwear, so it's all good.
But that's not really magic underwear in the book. Well, let's see. No graven images. Again, the Catholic Church is 110% graven images. thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Uh-oh, Jay. Yeah.
All of Ireland is doomed.
That's gonna take a couple of weeks right there.
Oh, here we go, Jay. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Honor thy father and mother. You got that one in spades, Jay. Thou shalt not kill.
Yeah, that's debatable though. If you look at the original translation,
thou shalt not murder.
It's not but actually again, kill.
Just because they haven't found the bodies doesn't mean God doesn't know, Jay. Thou shalt not commit adultery. AshleyMadison.com. enter promo code squirped.
Thou shalt
not steal. Come on, Jay.
Have I'm shoplifted? Come on. It fell off a truck.
Okay, cool. Under my religion, like it's one of those like, no, we're not gonna let you into heaven unless you've shoplifted. Come on, that's some good like you don't have to be a kleptomaniac. Like I might have stolen three things in my life. And actually, note, to be fair, with the whole scan your own groceries, there's been a few times where like I've got home and found that something was not right, that I forgot to ring something up and went, oops, oh well.
Yeah. Oops.
And there was one time when the barcode on the thing was screwed up and I'm like, fuck you. Just threw it in my bag. If you're not going to let me scan it, then I'm taking it. And then thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's servants, animals, or anything else. Ooh, I didn't know those were all separate.
No coveting.
I have not coveted my neighbor's servants.
Yes, but have you have coveted thy neighbor's gun collection?
I think that's unlikely. I think it would be the other way around.
It's specifically your neighbors, though.
That's right. The guy on the other side of town, you can covet
the shit out of his stuff.
Two doors down. Well, that probably is another question of what the Hebrew translation is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because it's like, love thy neighbor. Well, everyone's your neighbor. Everyone's your brother. Kumbaya, kumbaya. Yeah.
Except for the Philistines.
And the Gomorrans. Everyone knows Sodom. They always forget Gomorrah.
Yeah, what were the Gomorrites doing? I know we all know what the Sodomites were doing, but what were the Gomorrites doing?
Maybe it was worse. It was so bad nobody remembers what it was. Like, you blocked it out.
They couldn't write into the Bible, otherwise they'd get a hard R.
What? It's okay. Well, okay. So what would you know? We know what sodomy is, which you know Sodom.
Gomorrah-y.
Yeah.
Was Gamora E in Guardians of the Galaxy?
What would Gamora E be?
Well, according to the Eurotrash pop band Porsches on the Autobahn, the two hole is the poop hole and the three hole is the eye.
What?
What?
I don't want to know.
That made no sense at all.
They're having ocular sex.
What? Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no.
Whatever it is, no.
Well, that's interesting.
Doesn't that person have to be dead? Okay, I'm not going to go there. Never. Anyway.
Maybe that's Gomorrah-y.
Grimorrah-y. I don't know.
Dead air. Take a shot.
I'm looking up Gomorrah now. I don't know. So what's happened this week? Anything interesting?
No.
I got my balls cut off.
Dead week.
No, you did not.
I did too.
What?
What?
I had a vasectomy.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell us about that. Why? Why?
Why? Because I'm done.
You only had one, though.
I know. Pretty cool, huh?
So you're going to start looking like an old lesbian?
No, I didn't really get my balls cut off, Alan. I just got my vas deferens removed. Not even all of them.
You just tied a knot in it.
Did not tie a knot in them.
Do they like cauterize it or?
Yep. It was all done with electrocautery.
Wow.
Didn't even use sutures.
Okay, have you been making friends with a bag of frozen peas or?
I eat frozen peas. I'm not going to put a bag of frozen peas on my balls and then either throw them away or put them back in the freezer. No, I actually pulled out I went into my home bar and pulled out my handy dandy Lewis bag and made some very, very nice crushed ice. What?
Okay.
What? If you don't have a Lewis bag, they're fucking fantastic.
What's a Lewis bag?
Brady, do you know?
It's the bag you put the ice in and you crush it, right?
Yeah, it's a canvas bag and you put ice cubes into it and beat the shit out of it with a hammer. And then normally I would pour it into a glass and then
pour it
into
a julep. Is that what you use a blender for?
Yes, but a blender is going to be causing a lot more friction and it's going to melt the ice and it's going to be watery. The thing about the canvas is that it wicks the water away.
That is,
and then it freezes. And so
that's such a
blender would also cut the shit out of his balls.
So did it hurt? And what our listeners would love to know.
Yes, it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it
did
wasn't.
You watch it? Did you watch?
No, no, I was laying down and evidently getting very pale.
Aww.
But there was a lot of like messing around with my nuts that was not comfortable. And, but
they didn't overall, did they give you like a general anesthetic or anything?
Yes. They gave you a general anesthetic. That's, it's not 100%. So it was uncomfortable, not painful is the right word for it and it was over pretty quick. And then, yeah, like, I mean, my wife was in DC at the time. So I gave my daughter to my.
Did you like clear this with her? Does she know?
Yeah.
Does she know?
Well,
Does Maine have that thing where you got to get your spouse's permission?
You know that this place did not, but they had me sign a secondary waiver just before the procedure, and it actually had a space for a spouse's signature, but they didn't care.
Hmm.
But yeah, some places do. I think it's just policy.
That, but isn't it your body, your choice?
Yes.
Not when you're a man. No, really.
That is actually true.
Not when you're a man. No, but I do know that following the vasectomy, you have certain duties, correct?
I do need to jerk off into a cup.
Right. But you need to do it frequently, right? To clear out the pipes. No?
Well, I mean, I'm probably going to be doing that anyway.
Okay. All right. Instead of waxing your car, of course.
But yeah. So no, but actually the procedure was not nearly as bad as me shaving my business beforehand. That was awful. That was the fucking worst. I don't know how you people that shave your junk deal with that shit, but no, nope. That was
solidly. I'm sure it's a very delicate procedure to shave that junk.
Yes. But yeah, no. So just,
did you shave it or did somebody shave it for you?
No, I did. The guy said he
would.
Would
you trust
otherwise.
Somebody shaving your junk?
Judging what a horrible job someone and how else? Many nicks, how many nicks I got.
Oh my God.
Like, I definitely bled more during the shaving of the junk than I did during the actual procedure. Like, literally, the doctor went, "Yep, see here," and he held up one, you know, one piece of surgical gauze with that wasn't even soaked in blood. It just had mopped up some blood. And he goes, "Yep. One piece of gauze. That's all the blood you've lost."
Hey, Jay, are you cringing as bad as I am right now?
Fortunately, no.
Oh. I'm having a Game of Thrones moment. where
you have your unit?
No, where Jon Snow says to Ygritte, his girlfriend.
Concubine?
No. She was his wilding girlfriend. And she says to him, "What's fainting?" And he says, "When a girl sees blood and collapses." And she says, "Why would a girl see blood and collapse?" And Jon Snow says, "Well, not all girls are like you." And Ygritte says, "Well, girls see more blood than boys." So... yeah, seeing blood in the junk area is like meh.
Yeah,
meh.
I mean,
but I'm sad you're out.
To be fair, to be fair, Brita, it's technically not blood.
Okay, I'm gonna pat you on the head. I'm gonna pat you on the head right now because you're cute. But you're so cute. I'm sad you're out of the gene pool. Weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those.
But, you know, at least
I'm an only child. My wife is mostly an only child. She's got two half sisters. That's why I say mostly.
Yeah.
I mean, she's pretty.
Do they get put together to make one whole sister?
Yes. Yes, that's true. It's like Voltron, Sister Voltron.
I have to confess that one of my, like, because I don't have any children. I'm the only one on the show with no children. And one of the things for me is I have two half brothers. Okay. And my one half brother, we have shared the same father. My other half brother, we share the same mother. And so both of them have gone on to have children and grandchildren, actually, at this point. So I feel like I'm free and clear. Like, you know, the genetic code has been passed on and I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like any kind of.
And they're brothers and once from your mom and once from your dad. So like they even got like the silly name pass on thing.
Exactly.
Like bingo. If I was old fashioned and stupid, I'd be all butthurt that, you know, I mean, number one, like, no, if my daughter doesn't change her name when she gets married or does the hyphenated thing, like it's one of those mm-hmm. like, cool, congratulations. Where I'm moving someplace far away. Don't come visit me. we're done here. I raised you better than be one of them. But yeah, no, I'm an only child. My wife's an only child. So we both weren't particularly interested in having a litter. And mm-hmm. My wife had a really easy pregnancy and a relatively easy birth. And so the day after, you know, holding this little teeny tiny squishy baby. And I went, you know, that didn't go so bad. That really wasn't all that bad. Like, it almost makes me think, maybe would you be interested in having another? She went, nope. And I went, cool. Oh. That was the end of it.
Okay, we're good. Yeah. Well, good.
My cousin has 10. So
what?
Yeah.
So I have two.
He's more than made up for anything.
Oh yeah, the whole population thing. Who cares?
I like cats.
Well,
I know you do, Brita.
Clearly, that's always my answer.
Clearly, you must. It'd be kind of fucked up if you didn't.
Cats are great.
Yeah, but you got Actually, Alan, are you getting all these cats because like now you're trying to catch up with Brita?
We actually have the same amount of cats now.
Yeah, we're tied.
So, are you going to get another cat, Alan? Just go, haha, no, Brita, look who has more cats.
I am not going to do that.
Look who's the craziest cat.
I was happy with two cats until mom died and nobody wanted her cat. So,
yeah. Alan, that was very nice of you to take Ponzi.
He's starting to actually
kind of like you,
grudgingly like me.
He likes your other cats, though.
Yeah, he likes good buddies. He likes the other cats way more than he likes me. So,
so I can't have pets, so I have to have children.
Oh, way more expensive.
Yeah.
Yes. And they smell worse.
You know, you can take shots and have pets. Just saying.
Turn in the kids.
I take shots and then kids.
Yeah. Trade the kids in for shots and a pet. You might be better off. In fact, you could probably get your kids are young enough. You could probably still get pretty good money for them. Actually,
Jay, why can't you have pets?
Because I'm allergic to like all animals.
Yeah. But didn't you grow up with pets though?
Yeah.
And were you allergic to them then, or was it only when you moved out?
No, it's one of those things. It's gotten progressively worse as I've gotten older.
Yeah.
Like your allergies get more intense.
I know that.
Like I'm at the point where if like I'm over someone's house that has pets, or if like we have my wife and her sisters have a cottage up in Maine they inherited, and I can tell when one of the sisters has brought a pet up there and they've been on like the furniture. Because I'll like sit down and all immediately my eyes start watering and, you know,
aww,
trouble breathing. And
that sucks.
Then I take two Benadryl and go to sleep.
Spontaneous death.
And then I go to sleep. And it's the dander. It's not the fur, because I have people all the time. Oh, you're not allergic to this one. They have hair, not fur. And I'm like, oh, yeah,
no, I'm the exact same way. Yeah, no, poodles bother me just as much as like huskies.
Yeah, it's I understand they're hairless.
Well, yeah, because that's because they're dogs.
Dogs, cats, like, you know, I look at like people riding horses and I'm like, oh, that would be death within minutes.
Oh, horses. Yeah. Horses are disgusting.
I'm not allergic to horses, but I fucking hate them.
I'm with you, Weird. I hate horses. I had horses when I was a kid. I grew up with ponies and horses, and they are just, they're mean, vicious, stinky, nasty ass, good for nothing money pits.
Supposedly they taste good.
I have heard that. I would be willing to eat one, but I don't want to ever have to, you know, there is a reason when they invented cars that they were seen as a huge, one of the huge benefits of cars was decreasing the pollution in cities.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
All the horse shit.
Yeah. All the horses walking around pooping and peeing all over everything. Shit. Oh yeah. Man. People,
and the streets were so dirty with horse shit that people would just dump their garbage there.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. And the flies, and oh, it was just, it Black was plague. Awful, you know, and people bitch about, oh, air pollution. Oh, the air pollution is so bad. Really? You know, cause you know, take a time machine and go back to New York City in August in say, oh, 1885.
Yep.
There was like horse shit and tell up me to about your ankles.
Yeah, exactly.
In the city. Yeah.
That's a big reason why sidewalks are elevated above the level of the street and have gutters for that stuff to run off. That's why street infrastructure is the way it is.
So basically all the Hollywood movies about Westerns are wrong.
Yeah. Where they can walk on the street.
There's all these, you know, little quaint Western towns with horses, and there's not a speck of shit anywhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I guarantee you they didn't employ people to scoop shit up off the streets.
Yeah, that especially when you see the number of horses on your average Western set.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's like every horse has to have, like, a grip.
Oh, yeah, at least one. That's like if you ever, you ever see a parade. Where they've got like lots of horse drawn things, and they'll actually have people following along behind with like buckets and, you know, trash cans and big snow shovels scooping poop up behind the horses.
Actually, as a marching band geek, thankfully all of the parades that I've ever been in, the horses all had the little shit bags.
Well, yeah, that's it.
Which, speaking of disgusting,
horses colostomy bags.
No, it's the little bag they hang. No, they
got these little, yeah, it's a little yoke that hangs off the horse's ass.
Yeah.
It's a brass catcher.
It literally is a brass. It is absolutely a brass catcher for horse ass.
Yeah, I've seen the little decorative wagons they have in some town squares and stuff to drive people around, have those a lot of times.
Oh, God. Yeah, how about that? I remember my wife and I were first dating, and we went someplace that, oh, it was Bermuda, and there was a horse-drawn carriage that was taking us through. It was one of the old towns. I think Georgetown, is it? I forget. It's one of the historical cities in Bermuda. And this guy's giving us a ride around, and it's not particularly hot, but it's humid as shit. And here we are riding in this carriage with this horse that's got this big old fucking shit bag hanging behind it.
Woo, fragrant.
And it's one of those like, oh, it was ripe. It was ripe. Like, it was one of those like, every so often the wind would be going right and you'd be all right, and then it would remind you.
And that's why I hate horses. They're smelly and they attract flies.
And they bite.
And they bite and they stomp on your feet.
And they kick.
Yeah. Horses are mean animals. Anybody that says otherwise is stupid.
I'm sure some.
Well, they're herbivores, so a lot of herbivores are mean like that.
Yes, they are.
That's true. Like, actually, they've certainly got that like prey species, like mentality.
Oh yeah.
Can we talk about the deer eating the corpse in the in the body farm?
Yes, let's talk about.
Really?
That. You didn't hear about that weird?
Oh, I did not hear about this. Wasn't
you need to pay more attention to the Squirrel Report group on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Shoot, I haven't been there.
Because it was commented on extensively.
This was like last week sometime. I don't know. First of all, I don't know why they have web like cams up on the dead bodies in the body
so
farm.
So they can watch them.
It's just to watch them. Yeah. Makes it easier and it's less stinky.
Okay. But they caught a deer eating.
It was like May 7th. I have the link. I'll put it in the show.
Yeah. Post. So they caught a deer eating the corpse. And the funniest picture is like the deer is looking at the camera, like kind of like, huh? And it has a rib sticking out of its mouth.
Yeah. It's got and like
a background. You can hear Carl.
Yeah.
So and the deer's like, sitting there munching on a rib.
I know that people have caught on their kind of deer cams for their hunting. I know that people have caught deer eating baby birds out of nests. That I've heard before, but I mean, this was a human corpse and it was chewed on by a deer. So what is happening there? Like, are they like vegans who sometimes sneak bacon?
Yes, that's exactly what they are.
Every once in a while, a deer falls off the wagon.
Yeah, once in a while, they're like, maybe I need a little, you know.
You know what? You know what he looks like, Brita?
I'm supposed to be herbivore, but humans are so tasty.
That deer, that deer looks like the rabbit on the shirt you wore to Black's.
Well, yeah.
He has the same expression and the rib hanging out of his mouth.
He's like, what? What?
What?
I mean, a rib. Yeah, I don't know. It's
nobody told me this shit's delicious.
Screw that grass crap, man.
Maybe that's what it is. But granted, like,
oh, so it's eating the bones. That
is
makes
it eating the bones.
According to Hess, chewing on the remains. It looks, yeah, that's what he's doing. That actually makes perfect sense. I guarantee that is a young button buck.
Okay. Oh, and for the antlers?
When they grow those antlers, that is a shitload of calcium that they need fast. Like, oh, they grow them. They grow them fast. Like,
right.
Antlers grow because they have them for like, I mean, think about the fact that like most of their life, they have no antlers whatsoever. And then for like 3 months, they've got these gigantic racks on top of their heads.
Mm-hmm.
Like the amount of calcium that they need for that, they go nuts. So the idea that, like, yeah, if they found some bones, they would go hog wild on those things.
Hmm.
Especially since they're probably sniffing and licking just about everything anyway.
Don't you?
No comment. But you know the fucking answer. You don't need to. Guilty as charged.
I want to bring up also, this has been like kind of trending this week. And I hate, well, you know what? I'm just going to bring it up. Man rompers.
Oh, no.
Man rompers.
I saw that. I saw that on somebody else's feed, and I posted the picture of Sean Connery in the terry cloth play suit from Goldfinger.
Totally doable.
What about Zardoz?
That is not a romper.
I would still do him in the Zardoz. Apparently, man rompers are a thing now.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
Yeah, that appears to be something that people are telling people that are a thing, and that's not going to.
It's like, totally not. No, it's not a thing.
That was like there was supposedly like a, I mean, the messenger bags kind of changed it, but like I remember in the '80s there was a talk of like man purses.
Oh yeah, that was even in the late '70s.
Yeah, that was somebody was trying to like say that this was the cool trendy thing to do, and dudes are like, no thank you. And then messenger bags came out and went, you know what, that's actually pretty convenient. And it, you know, fanny
how
packs,
is a messenger bag different than a purse?
It's not, but okay, but it is a mess, but it's more of convergent evolution. Mm-hmm. is a man purse is a derivative of the female purse. A messenger bag is a derivative of the backpack.
Okay. I'm skeptical about that.
The messenger bags are actually, I don't even know if they were actually ever backpacks, but they kind of derive from those mail satchels that the postal carriers used to carry. And that was a side slung.
Or the paper boy sacks.
Right. Exactly. And the messenger, like the Western Union delivery, you know, telegram boys would carry something similar to that as they rode around on their bicycles delivering telegrams. So,
and also when I first started seeing messenger bags, a lot of them were worn like a single strap backpack,
right?
Where you would cross it across your chest and then you could sling it up on your back and then you could roll it down under your arm to take stuff out of it.
Right. And that's how they used to ride around on bikes with it. They'd sling it, you know, behind their back and then, cause it did. So it didn't get in the way when they rode around. So yeah.
I love
all this rationalization of a man purse.
It's not a man purse.
Okay. Well, anyway,
it's not even a side bag.
I was gonna say about the man jumper thing.
I don't think it's gonna take off.
Okay. First of all,
it's too hard to poop in for one thing.
Well, okay, the pooping.
No, it's real easy to poop in.
Yeah, it's probably easier to poop in than to not poop in, because good luck getting that thing off.
Yeah.
Well, peeing in it is easier for men than it is for women, because they have women's rompers. The word is romper. They have rompers for women as well, but it's like wearing... Okay, back in the 80s, they had these bodysuit things for women, and it was like a shirt, except it went all the way down to your crotch, and it buttoned in your crotch, and you would wear it under your jeans.
Oh, I remember.
So it's a onesie.
Yeah.
It was like a onesie for women. Yeah. So you'd have to go to the bathroom, pull down your pants, pull up the... It was like a mess. But, and also, rompers are like that for women. We have to take them, like, practically all the way off to go to the bathroom. Men, however, can just, like, I'm assuming there's some sort of fly situation. You can just pee and, you know.
There doesn't appear like to be one.
Well, anyway, so.
I bet there's a fly situation. No, there's no Sean fly. Connery had a fly. Men
clearly have no penis.
That's true.
There you go.
Okay, I just wanted to say that I saw these rompers and I immediately thought of the guy who comes into the library every single day. His name is Ed. And Ed wears a speed suit.
A what?
Speed suit.
What's that?
It's like a zip up coverall thing.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yep.
Have you ever seen, what is the cartoon?
Speed Racer?
Oh no.
Like an astronaut suit, kind of.
Or like a flight suit, like the Air Force, like the fighter pilots wear. Yeah, it's like a
zip-up coverall thing. I'm so sorry.
Like Schwartz. Every mechanic in the world wears?
What's
There is a cartoon where they wear the speed suits. And I am totally drawing a blank. I'm sorry. But, so I have this guy who comes in the library every single day and, oh God, now I have to look it up. I'm sorry.
By the way, check the image in the chat that I just posted. Holy shit.
Is that real?
I mean, it's real. It looks like a fashion show, which 90% of the fashion shows are clothes that no one will ever wear.
Venture Brothers. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
I can't believe I forgot that.
That's a good show.
Everybody in the Venture Brothers wears like a speed suit, right? So I have this guy who comes in the library every day and he wears a speed suit literally every single day. In the winter, he wears stuff under the speed suit. In the summertime, I don't know what he wears on his speed suit, but
I have never heard it called a speed suit before.
Well,
you put it on and you zip it up and it's speedy, right? So speed suit.
must be a colloquialism or something.
I don't know.
It's absolutely a thing though. I just clicked on speed suit and Google images and you're getting a lot of like, there's a lot of like sports gear that is speed suit. But the very, very first, like there's for $70 at JCPenney's, you can get a red cap speed suit for $70. And it's essentially a fucking boiler suit. But
that's
not
a super high-end speed suit, I think.
But not useful.
A high-end speed suit. Not a cheap speed suit. Don't skimp on your speed suit, folks.
Why? How much do you pay for yours?
How much would it be? I don't know. It's just a...
80 bucks actually seems pretty reasonable because it's both pants and
every
shirt.
Every guy at every chemical plant in the world wears one of those.
Yeah.
Right. But this one here is a utilitarian one, or a fashion one rather than a utilitarian one.
But these rompers for men are essentially speed suits with no legs. Yep.
By the way, I've been doing a lot of research, painstaking research, and it appears that every single one I've seen has a seam that goes from the neck to the crotch. Uh-oh. And so to pee, you would need to either unzip it or, well, you could probably unbutton like the bottom two and just piss out of there. But to take a dump, you have to put the whole thing around your ankles.
Yes.
And let's be honest. Like I am a Larry Craig ride stance shitter. I do not understand the people. Like when I go into the men's room and I see the person sitting there with his pants around his ankles, I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Those are your pants. You're going to pull those back up around your butt. And they've been sitting on the floor of a fucking men's room. You are nasty.
I always keep mine up off the floor.
Yeah. Too. You pop your knees out a little bit. I mean, Larry Craig is full of shit. I mean, there's no point where I'm invading anybody's personal space when I'm doing this, but you pop your knees out a little bit and you pull your pants down to your knees and then you hold them there. And so therefore, you know, there's nothing to, you know, maybe the ankles are touching the floor a little bit more.
Yeah. And that's it.
And that's it. But yeah, but for this, it's one of those. But when you've got, literally like the chest and shoulders of your clothes, like bunt, it's gonna be
touching the floor.
It's gonna be on the floor, and it's gonna be soaking up men's room mystery fluids.
Ah,
and no. It's not mystery fluids; it's piss.
If you're lucky, it's piss. Because that's usually fairly sterile. I think
what's really most offensive about the rompers, you know, the current rompers that are being told that, you know, we're being told is fashion, is that they come in like kind of baby colors and prints, and they're not manly at all.
Oh no, not in the least.
They're like pink, and then there's baby blue ones with like a little pattern on them, and no.
Okay, so
Brita, they are actually they're very, very useful because that is exactly the uniform to wear for you to know that to lead off every conversation is, before we get talking, can you please tell me your pronouns?
So all right. So I put a link in the thing, and they have a picture of Sean Connery as James Bond.
Look at them thighs.
Wearing a proto romper.
Look at his thighs.
So I want to point out that the romper is so effeminate that it makes Sean Connery look like less of a man.
That's up. Right.
It does. Look at it.
Shut up.
He looks like he is on his way to a,
I will fight you.
He's about to start singing show tunes. He is about to make a declaration in front of the Canadian Parliament. That's right, Justin Trudeau. I just called you one of those.
Understated.
I will fight you.
Oh, that word you're using, I don't think it means what you think it means.
I will put a link to this also on the page.
Don't link it.
If you're curious. You're wrong. I'm not wrong. Look at the picture.
You're wrong. I'm looking at the picture.
Yes, but
it's Sean Connery.
Yes, it's Sean Connery, but the romper lowers his masculinity like at least from like a, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, it lowers it to at least a 5 or a 4.
Are you looking at his thighs?
No, I'm not. Well, I'm looking at the whole picture. Look, the little hot maid next to him's not even looking at him anymore. She's looking at something else. All right. She's totally lost interest in him because he's wearing this romper thing.
No.
Let me just say, if you can wear one that short, you're not bragging.
Well, that's another
He's wearing point. Tight jockey shorts.
He's definitely wearing something underneath.
Yeah, he is wearing something
underneath. Out of the legs.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody,
I used to have a buddy who used to wear used to wear short shorts and boxer shorts. We'd have like literally like it was the exact opposite of like the hip hop boys with their fucking like 4.5 inches of boxer short like hanging out the top of their pants. It was his boxer shorts were showing at the bottom.
Nice.
What? No.
Yeah, you can tell the wardrobe person came to Sean Connery that morning and said, "Here, you got to put this on." And he looked at it and said,
Well, it was Goldfinger. That was the beginning of the souring of his relationship with Albert Broccoli.
Yeah, yes. Maybe that did it. Blame it on the romper.
The romper. It stopped the best James Bond.
It did.
Rompers are so.
And then powerful. And then what did we get? Roger Moore. I rest my case. Moore.
The most effeminate Bond ever.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig.
No. To be fair, there was a George Lazenby, but come on.
That was a spoof.
The only James Bond that was A, not British, and B, not an actor.
I look at Sean Connery and I think, how, as a Scottish man, did this man ever get so tan?
Well, he's Spanish. Didn't you see Highlander?
He hangs out on the. He hangs
no,
out
he's
on
Egyptian.
The, he hangs out on the French Riviera.
Ramirez was Egyptian. Or Sumerian. Was he Sumerian? Yes. Yeah,
Sumatran.
He hangs what? Out at Monaco in the French Riviera. That's how he gets his
but he's. Yeah, I don't know. It has always been a source of mystery for me. I've always wondered, how did he get so bronze? Because, like, you know, he's one of my people.
But no, I think where in Scotland is he from?
Scotland.
But yeah, but if he's a lowland Scot, they're much more.
Oh, no.
There's nothing lowland about Sean Connery, all right?
Hey, I'm a lowlander.
You're Scottish?
Yeah.
Really? You sure?
You know my last name for fucking sake.
Well, I can meta the no true Scotsman fallacy and say the lowlanders are not true Scotsmen.
Literally used the no true Scotsman.
He was born in Fountainbridge, Edinburgh.
That's in Scotland?
Yeah.
One of his grandparents was from Skye, and the other one. So they're all Highlander.
Yeah. His paternal grandfather's parents immigrated from Ireland. So there's some black in there somewhere.
That's true.
Hey.
It's true. But yeah, I think Sean Connery is naturally fairly dark skinned.
Well, it's weird.
And also, I mean, it's not like he's tanning. You can't tan through that fucking coat that he's wearing.
It's a terry cloth.
The pelt? No.
Exactly.
Oh, his
the
belt.
Layer of hair. Yeah.
That's right.
There's silverback gorillas that look at Sean Connery and go, damn.
Damn, son.
I know. I'm very pleased about my copious amounts of body hair. And let me tell you, my Scottish ass doesn't compete with him.
He's the only guy Robin Williams looked at and went, whoa!
I think Robin Williams had Sean Connery beat.
Yes, he did. He was actually a gorilla.
Now I need to see the picture from Zardoz.
Give me a second.
Nobody needs to see that. That's just wrong.
I could stand to see it.
How hard up for money was Sean Connery for doing Zardoz? I mean, think about it. 1974...
Awesome. He looks awesome.
No, he doesn't. I forgot about the ponytail. Fucking ponytail, banana hammock, bandoliers, fucking thigh-high boots. Jesus awesome. Christ.
And the Freddie Mercury mustache. Don't forget the Freddie Mercury mustache.
Oh, man.
I need to see this movie.
I've never seen Zardoz?
No, I think I actually have it on DVD. I just have never watched it.
I don't blame you. If I had it on DVD, I'd probably never watch it either.
I like how the bandolier is like mostly empty, and there's no rhyme or reason to how it's empty.
And it's also clearly like rifle rounds, and he's carrying a .455 Webley.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen like lots of clips from Zardoz, and it definitely appears to be like the most fucked up movie like in the history of the universe.
Oh no, it's not. There are far worse movies than Zardoz.
Even Time Bandits is going, damn.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You're missing out on, you know, all kinds of really craptacular movies before you get to Zardoz.
All right, but so we were talking about the man rompers.
Yes.
Let us talk about another shameful thing about the youth today. Can we talk about Avocado Hand?
Oh my god. Here
I thought you were going to say fidget spinners.
Oh. Well,
Jay, do your kids have fidget spinners?
No.
Not even the boy?
No.
Good.
Have you checked his room?
Have I checked his room?
How do you know? I smoked for years under my parents' roof, and I still don't think they know. They certainly don't allude to knowing.
They know now.
Nope, because they don't listen to the show.
What, Alan? Want a fidget spinner?
I'm wondering how we raise a generation of people that don't know how to safely use a knife without hurting themselves.
Easy.
Knives are dangerous.
Yeah, knives are dangerous, and like you, like if you have a pocket knife, like
yep,
like I definitely like brought pocket knife. Like I'm young enough that bringing pocket knives to school was discouraged. But if you brought a pocket knife to school and just kept it in your pocket, no one would say peep. I mean, I'm also young enough that bringing a pocket knife to school meant it's not clipped to the inside of your pocket. Like, you know, modern good pocket knives would be like a buck knife or a Swiss Army. Oh yeah.
Nobody had,
but also at the same time, like, if you pulled your Swiss Army knife out and used the screwdriver to tighten a screw that was loose on something, like your teacher would not like immediately call the principal and like have you suspended and possibly have you expelled and shipped to the moon.
My shop teacher in junior high specifically said that if he caught somebody without a pocket knife, he would give them an F.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him.
Well, Alan, that was the 1890s.
He was like, men carry pocket knives. It's the ultimate tool.
At the same time, Jay's great-great-grandparents were required by Massachusetts law to bring a rifle to church in case there was an attack by Native Americans.
You know, it's funny. It wasn't that long ago. The college I went to up in Denton County, University of North Texas, when it was started, and for like 10 years or so afterwards, they actually had bulletins on what to do in case of an Indian attack.
Nice.
From because it was right up near the border of Oklahoma, so that was a concern.
When was the last
Indian attacks are on the rise?
When was the last Indian attack, like, period?
Oh, it was the late 1800s.
But yeah, but the whole like it's
Alan
the whole
was
like
grade school.
Yeah, like people are not like, yeah, we don't teach people how to use knives, and like, and at this point in time, the parents of these kids don't know how to use knives.
Yeah, we've had like two plus generations of non-tool users grow up. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's one of those like, yeah, I mean, I've got scars all over my friggin' hand and probably a couple of open wounds from, you know, just using knives. And yeah, you're going to cut yourself. I didn't draw blood, but I did actually, I thought about it as I was, we had meatball subs for dinner, and I put them in ciabattas. And so I was cutting the ciabattas, and I went a little far with one slice and tapped my hand with the knife. But again, I'm a fucking grown ass man who's been cutting shit with knives my entire life. Like I think I got my first knife at like age 4 or 5.
And, as you should.
As you should. And oh, my daughter cuts vegetables.
All right. Good.
Yeah.
You know, that was one of the things I wanted to bring up about this avocado hand thing was that for this to happen at all means the person who is doing this has no experience in the kitchen.
Oh yeah.
Well, this, now, is, granted, also the, granted, this is also the everyone,
I have cut myself in the kitchen. You know, it has happened. But
I thought you and Knives have an understanding.
Well, yeah. It's Brita has to cut herself at least once with every knife. That's the understanding. But
they need their sacrifice, huh?
Yes.
I have never stabbed myself through the hand with a knife. But here's the thing with using a tool in the kitchen is that somebody needs to teach you how to use a tool in the kitchen. And if you're in the kitchen just fucking around with an avocado and trying to get the pit out of an avocado, I mean, it just kind of says to me that no one has ever shown you an avocado before and how to do an avocado. Like, how do you take the pit out? How do you cut it? Like, well, what do you do with an avocado?
Yeah,
and hipsters, anymore. The whole avocado toast. Oh my God.
Is that a thing? What?
I fucking avocado hate avocados. Toast. May I just say,
really? I'm with you, weird.
I can
really.
I don't like avocados at all.
That's shocking. It's like pure, almost pure fat.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
It's just it's
gorgeous. Yeah, it's like vegetable fat. It's so good.
I could definitely tolerate it if it's in something.
Hmm.
But like guacamole, out. Out.
Really?
I hate guac. Like,
it's like vegetable
like,
butter.
Something like weird. Something like avocado toast, like I think it's avocados kind of like zucchini in my mind.
No.
On the there is a lot of very subtle flavors within an avocado, and I am very, very sensitive to this. There's some kind of mealy, funky flavors within an avocado and a zucchini. Actually, quite similar.
They're bitter to me.
Yeah, there's a bitter kind of funky flavor in an avocado, and I do not like it. And so now if there's something like, you know, if I'm at a place that's got huevos rancheros, so it's eggs with salsa and hot sauce on a tortilla with sour cream, and there's some avocado in there, I'll be fine. Like, I'm not gonna particularly enjoy the avocado, but it's not gonna kill me.
That's interesting.
But like something like avocado toast, where it is very clearly the avocado is the centerpiece. The toast is the vehicle for you to eat the avocado. Yeah. Fuck that noise. Fuck it in the neck.
Well, it's funny.
Okay.
It's funny
well,
too.
I'm just saying that avocado hand is closely related to avocado toast, which is very closely related to the millennial generation who doesn't know how to do fucking anything.
Yeah, and this is also a little bit of like the part of the like instant gratification, you know, generation of the, like I said, my daughter likes to cook, and I am very excited about that, because let me tell you, people, teach your fucking kids how to cook, because guess what, if you're buying ready-made entrees at the grocery store or going out for takeout or joining the office lunch pool during your thing, you're going to go broke awful fast. Like, you are going to pile money up. Like, at the NRA show, I fed the entire house two dinners for $25.
Sure.
And there was leftovers.
Yeah. What did you make, by the way?
I cooked chicken thighs in the crock pot with
chicken thighs. Yeah.
With onions and that's exactly what everyone else said. Chicken thighs. Fuck yeah. Nobody cooks chicken thighs. I'm like, yeah.
Chicken thighs are awesome.
Yeah. And because nobody cooks chicken thighs, they were dirt fucking cheap.
Yeah,
too.
They are cheap.
Did you know in Asia, most of Asia and definitely in Japan, that chicken thighs are more expensive than chicken breasts because nobody likes chicken breasts in Asia?
Because chicken breasts suck shit.
Because chicken thighs are where it's at. I don't want to start a chicken thigh craze because I like them being cheap.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to turn out to be like flank steak.
Yeah, going to go the way of the flank steak and the steak and the brisket.
Yeah.
And the back ribs.
Used to be a cheap cut of meat. Now,
Back ribs used to be so fucking cheap. Oxtails.
I blame.
You know what's crazy? Oxtails are expensive.
So expensive.
But beef shanks are cheap.
Yeah.
I think I've said that before.
I love beef shanks.
But I blame. Needs
to say, what I'm going through is my daughter is, you know, interested in cooking. I'm very excited about that because it does not matter who you are or what your economic status is. If you, everyone's got to eat. And if you know how to cook, number one, you can eat well and eat healthier for dirt cheap. And guess what? You can impress people. Like if you have a, you know, you have some friends over, cook them something. And guess what? They're going to be like, oh my God, this is so good. And you're like, yeah. And I only spent like $10 to feed all of you.
Right.
Hey, wait, I got a question.
Because yes.
Your kitchen. Mm-hmm. Does your house have one of those open floor plan kitchens where it's the kitchen's like right in the middle of the living room, or is it like its own separate room?
No, my house is from 1929. So
separate room.
I have a theory about kitchens.
Yep.
You know, because one of the things I do for fun is look at like houses on like Zillow. And, since about the late 70s, early 80s has been this like open floor plan craze where they put like a kitchen in the middle of the living room. And I think I have a theory.
By the way, my parents spent good money to open up a closed kitchen.
Ugh. I have a theory that the people who buy those houses and kitchens like that never cook.
That was the whole reason why my mom did it. My mom cooks. Why do you think I know how to cook?
Well, because the problem with an open kitchen is that whenever you cook something in your open kitchen, your whole house smells like whatever it was.
That's a problem. Why?
Well, because a day later, you're still smelling what you cooked.
Number one, that could be good. Number two, when you get your, I mean, that is definitely a big problem. Is I know some people that have some open floor plan kitchens that do not have externally vented oven hoods.
See, exactly.
Oh, okay. Well, that's wrong.
that's fucking.
But they do that. You would be surprised at how many houses with open floor plan kitchens don't have adequate kitchen ventilation. Yep.
And then there's other things like, you know, I personally don't like lobsters, but ever so often there'll be someone who would want a lobster and I'll treat them to a lobster. I do not cook a lobster in my kitchen. I cook lobsters on my grill.
Oh, yum.
On the pot. I've got a side burner.
You get lobsters up in your grill.
So I cook the lobster like I'm cooking it in my kitchen, but I cook it outside.
Yeah.
Because number one, if I ain't going to be enjoying that lobster, like I am absolutely going to, I'm not going to be enjoying that lobster. I'm absolutely not going to be enjoying that lobster the next day.
Hey, weird.
Yes.
My folks do the same thing.
Yeah.
Cook the lobster outside.
Strictly cook outside. It's like, yeah, no, outside.
But meanwhile, like I've actually.
Ideally, you eat it outside too.
Oh yeah, no, that's pretty good.
You crack everything open; it ends up same day.
The squirts all over the patio instead of onto
it, exactly. And you hose the patio down when you're done, and there you go.
I think I need more lobster in my life.
That's why the people do crawdads the same way in down south. You set up your big gas fired propane burner with the big old boiling pot outside, and you cook your mud bugs outside. And you cover the picnic table with newspaper and you dump them all out on that. And everybody just sits around and eats them outside.
Oh, Brita, you might appreciate this. There's a YouTube channel I discovered. It's called Deer Meat for Dinner.
Okay.
And it is, I discovered it because it's a hunting and fishing show. It's a hunting and fishing YouTube channel. But why I say Brita would like it is almost always, not only does he go catch and kill an animal, mm-hmm. but then he butchers it and then cooks it.
Nice.
And he's got,
it's like that meat hunter show.
Yeah. He's got a deer camp. and it has an entirely outside kitchen.
Cool.
Yeah, it's got like a big like farmer's porch, and one side of it is a full kitchen where he's got his grill out there too. He's got his grill, he's got a smoker, he's got like, I think he's got two ovens.
Damn.
All completely outside, all stainless, so they're probably just fine. He's got a range, and then the other side of the porch, he's got a big picnic table.
Nice. So he's got an
outside dining room too.
Awesome.
That's pretty bad. And he's in Florida. So it's not like, oh man, that'd be so awesome. Yeah. Except for like 8 months out of the year.
Right. I know. It'd be awesome for, June, July, and August here.
Yeah. But if you're living in Florida, like even in the depths of winter, when, I mean, let's face it, you live in Florida, 65, it's goddamn chilly.
Yeah. Maybe you'll put on a cardigan.
Maybe you'll eat the food inside.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe not. I don't know. Yeah. I don't, whatever. But one of those like cooking in that weather is not bad.
You know, you guys were talking about the crawfish and the lobster boils outside. Now, in Northeast Ohio, we have clam bakes.
What kind of clams? Are they like Lake Erie clams?
No. We import zebra mussels? Clams. No, we import the clams.
Okay.
Like they're regular clams. And
what? No. There's a couple of different regular clams.
Like the little ones and the bigger ones. And it depends, whatever you like there. You can have either or.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know, if they were soft shells or hard shells.
They're all hard shell.
Well, clams. They call the little white ones. They call those the soft shells around here.
Okay.
It is a bit of a misnomer. But it's only on the fact that you could essentially break the shells with your fingers versus the hard shell ones, which is get a hammer.
Oh.
But continue.
Okay. So, but it seems like a really kind of regional thing for us, where not a lot of the rest of the country does clam bakes, and it's clams and corn and maybe a sweet potato and... What else can you get? You can't, like a chicken, but they don't put the chicken in with the clams, obviously, but they grill the chicken, but it's like a clam bake, except the clam is not baked.
Do you know where it comes from?
No, but
that's actually a New England thing.
What you do
is you go out to the beach,
mm-hmm.
you dig a hole in the sand and you build a bonfire in the sand.
Yep.
Okay.
Then you send all the kids out to tear knotweed off the rocks, which is a long, stringy, heavy seaweed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you throw that when the fire is kind of burned down to coals, you throw that on top of that. And then I forget the order. I think the first one is the lobsters go on. Then you throw weed over the top of those. Then you throw the clams down, the clams and mussels, and you throw those down. And then essentially... you are baking them. You're kind of steaming them in their own shell.
Okay.
But it's that vague, like dry heat, wet heat cooking.
Okay. Yeah. They're all boiled here. So, yeah.
But no, there's no pots of water. It's literally seaweed, seaweed and then you throw the stuff directly on top of the hot seaweed.
Nice.
But the seaweed just essentially retards the burn rate.
Hmm.
It retards it.
That's right.
Freaking retarded.
Yeah, Jay said that.
Now I know. Well, I somehow it came across in Northeast Ohio and like the Ohio area. Clam bakes are huge here in the fall, and you say clam bake to other people and they're like, what?
You do it in the fall too.
Yes. It's always in the fall.
It's always in the summer here.
Huh?
Always in the summer. And it is such a big thing that evidently the rest of the world calls it fish bowling, but you and all your friends driving off to some secluded area and rolling up all the windows of the car and smoking a lot of weed and just fogging that whole place up. It's called clam baking in Maine.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Is it called clam baking in Massachusetts, Jay?
I've never heard that called clam baking.
And it's just
fish a bowling. Fish
bowling is how a Mainer will explain clam baking. When they say clam baking, you get the look. But yeah, I think the whole avocado, getting back to the avocado.
Around, hand, yeah.
I think the whole avocado hand thing is like, so my daughter is interested in cooking. And so because of that, like I'm letting her, you know, go with her own interest. And she wants to cook. Like she loves shrimp. Shrimp is like one of her favorite things in the world. I bought some frozen raw shrimp and we throw it onto a skillet and just keep flipping it until the shell's all browned up and it comes out beautiful. It's so good. Like I'm amazed at how good the shrimp comes out, but I'm having her sit there in front of the hot pan and flipping her shrimp. And yep, she burns her hand a little bit. I mean, not even enough to leave a mark, but yep, that happens. You gotta be careful. And all that, but she's learning how to do it. And then she thankfully has not cut herself yet. But let me tell you, you could put a chunk of coal between my butt cheeks and make a diamond when she's cutting with a knife. Like it's not a pleasant thing, but you've got to, but that's something that like a lot of people don't do. People don't fucking save for retirement. People don't, you know, people don't think about, all right, this thing I'm doing right now is super unpleasant on the starting a retirement account. No, I, this money, I want to spend it on stuff. I'm, you know, young and living in a poor area. And what are you doing, Jay?
Grabbing. Is that a motorcycle?
Maybe.
What? You have a motorcycle in your office?
No, it's a ringtone.
But it's one of those like things for the future is the yes.
What the hell is going on?
My goodness. Jay is in demand.
Damn, Jay.
Well, yes. I mean, but, have you seen the guy?
Yes, he is. It's an emergency call for the NRA. He needs to quickly get down to Fairfax and shoot machine guns.
No, they've got his wheelbarrow full of money. He forgot to pick up on his when he left work today.
We're all full of cash, and we just found an extra five ammo cans of 7.62x51. Yeah. We need to get you shoot all of this by morning.
Yeah, Jay, you haven't shot your allotment of ammo yet this week. You need to get on it.
I just think that that's something that like at least the current generation that's raising these avocado hand people, like they were definitely the people of the Social Security will just take care of me. I don't need to retire. I don't need a 401k.
Well, there's 401k.
Or the housing bubble happened, and one of those mean, like, oh, the houses are expensive. How am I going to do that?
You mean the 401k that the Congress is about to rape?
Yeah.
Oh, what I actually didn't read this. What's happening now?
Oh yeah, they're talking about paying for the corporate income tax cut by doing a tax on 401k, either eliminating the tax deductibility of the contributions or taxing the profits inside the 401k as it builds. So
in other words, get rid of the entire purpose on
right.
why we have
it, yeah. 401k. Gutting it completely, basically. So yeah. Well, I mean, that was inevitable. I mean, come on, you gotta, you know, that's anybody that's doing any kind of retirement savings has a 401k sitting there. And that's a lot of money that Congress, the IRS and Congress can't get their hands on.
Yeah. That's like the death tax.
Right.
Like, why is there a death tax?
Because
there's a bunch of money exchanging hands and they want their cut.
They want their piece of it. So, they're going to come after it. So it's just a matter of when. If not now, soon.
Ugh.
So, I'm telling you, just wait.
Do we start shooting now?
No, unfortunately.
How about now?
You got to wait. See, okay, so I think, you know, the time to shoot, clearly the time to shoot is when they come for the guns.
It's true.
Of course.
Because everything goes to shit after that.
Just see also Venezuela.
Right. So that's when it's time to shoot, when they come for the guns.
Yep.
Before that, you really can't justify it.
It's, or when Antifa is walking down your street.
Well, yeah, that's, you can shoot them.
In which case 308 ball.
Yeah. And try to line them up. Cause you know, you got to conserve ammo.
You're going to line them up. They're in tight groups. Don't worry about it. There's going to be a backstop.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to hit your neighbors. Yeah,
and so. by the second or third one, it's going to be traveling sideways. It's going to be spectacular.
Oh,
but yeah.
Yeah. You might want to get something a little heavier than the 223 Brita in that case.
Okay.
For riots.
She can carry a lot more of it.
Well, that's true.
Two to three will work just fine.
Yeah.
These are not people used to pain.
Well, that's true.
It's going to hurt like hell.
All you have to do is wing them.
Gut shot. Go for the gut shot, Brita.
No problem.
You definitely want to go between the belt buckle and the solar plexus. That's
no problem.
That's your money zone.
I'm a pretty good shot.
Especially with a rifle, and it's going to be at fairly close range. I would hope
right,
so.
You know,
you could be a complete fucking doofus with a rifle, and you'll make that.
I think an Antifa riot would almost be as good as a zombie outbreak.
Oh,
how would you tell the difference?
Well, I don't know.
It'd be better because, let's face it, Alan, in every good zombie movie, there's that scene where the person encounters somebody that they knew and loved after they've been turned into a zombie. And there's that little bit of the, oh no, what do I have to do here? And there's that whole question of, I mean, I could do like a whole college dissertation on zombie movies. Like, I think zombie movies are brilliant. And the fact that you can watch them as just a stupid horror movie and just, ooh, zombies, they're eating brains, hooray. Or there's a lot of deep allegory that's in the good ones.
Sure.
But that's the big thing though, is the, when Barbara suddenly encounters Johnny after he's been turned into a zombie in Night of the Living Dead, like, there's that whole moment of the, oh my goodness, this is my brother, and I thought you were dead, and there you are, well, except you are dead, and you're going to eat my shit.
You know that zombies are code for socialists, right?
That is unfair to zombies.
All the zombie movies are allegories of communist takeover.
Tell me more.
Well, the infection, the spread, the brainless devouring of everything.
Is this just your take on this, or is this kind of?
I'm sure I read it somewhere.
I'm sure you did too.
I'm sure you.
It might have been written on a men's room wall, but it was written down. But still, what I'm trying to say is there's always that sympathy for the zombie in all the good zombie movies, and in a lot of the bad zombie movies, there's that sympathy for the zombie. And that you wouldn't have that with Antifa. It's one of those like, oh, cool. It's my neighbor, Johnny, and he's joined Antifa. Johnny's always been a little fucking shit. His parents should have strangled him in the crib. I'll fix that.
Oh, yeah. Just do a Google search for zombie communist, and you see all kinds of stuff on zombies. I mean,
same idea as if like the liberal pseudo fantasies existed and the KKK was actually becoming popular again. Like, it's one of those. No, the people that put on the white sheets, they've never been good people their entire life.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, it's no problem shooting these people.
Well, I suspect the Antifa rioters are pretty much, they fulfill the same role. I mean, 100 years ago, they would have been the KKK members for the Democratic Party. I mean, that's what the KKK was. The KKK was the militant wing of the Democratic Party. The Antifa is the militant wing of the Democratic Party.
I would argue that the parallels come a little bit closer to, but they've got the black masks. Shit. Fuck. You're right. Damn, you got me there. I was about to say a little bit more comparison to Hitler's brown shirts.
Nope.
But the Hitler's brown shirts were out in the open with all of it. These guys wear the masks
we're way out of time. We just lost Brita.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, I gotta go too.
Yep. We may pick this up next time. It's a good conversation.
I think so. We're going to get a lot to talk about. All right.
Why we hate millennials? Sure.
Yes.
Get off right, my lawn. Everybody.
We'll be back next week. You got an extra tonight. Bye.
Good night.